All right, if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. We're going through, in the summer, the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to spend a lot of time, the first probably 2 months, in this section called the Beatitudes. Last week, we introduced the first Beatitude, which was... All of them are important, but this one, the last one, the poor in spirit, is the foundation of all the other Beatitudes. And so let's read it together. If you could all rise, those who are watching online, if you could all rise together. And as I read, just one verse, I'm going to say this is the word of the Lord. And if you could all respond by saying, thanks be to God, and you could have your seat. Matthew chapter 5, verse 4. Jesus says this, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let me pray one more time and ask for God's help. If you could join me in prayer. Father in heaven, we have read your word now. We need your help. We need a miracle. Just as those who have heard your word and it cut people to the heart, they were amazed, shocked at what they heard. Such authority, such power. I did not come with eloquent words or words of wisdom, but a demonstration of your Spirit's power. Lord, I pray for that now. That the words of Jesus will shock your people now. Convict them of their sin. That they would shocked and mourn. I pray. Weeping, O Lord. Pray for that miracle. Pray all this not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit in and through Christ. Amen. As I said last week, when Jesus finished the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, and they heard what Jesus was saying, they were shocked, they were amazed. These weren't just anyone, these are religious people. They were shocked at what they heard. Because he was talking to the disciples especially. All the crowds were watching Jesus, but especially the disciples, they were shocked at what they heard. And last week, we said that in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is building a kingdom. And he wants to populate this kingdom that he's going to usher in. He wants to populate with certain kinds of people, a certain kind of characteristics that you want to see in the people that he wants to populate his kingdom with. And we saw a shocking thing last week. He said, blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In other words, blessed are those who are poverty of self. None of the self. Zero of the self. Empty of the self. Not focusing on the self. Remember why we focus on self. The reason we focus on the self is because of sin. This inward focus, the day you wake up and the day you go to bed and focusing on you and me, is because we were separated by sin from our Maker. Our God did not make us this way to focus on self. No, God has made us to focus on God, to glorify God, to serve God, to praise God. And of course, we know Today, the message of this world is to focus on the self, to love the self. You know, one of the best-selling book, Codependent No More, the author sold 4 million copies of this book. And look what he says. The author says this, quote, "We must learn to have a delicious affair, love affair with ourselves. We must learn to esteem ourselves highly. After all our confidence is rooted in us. We have to learn to like ourselves and accept ourselves." And this focusing on the self, the love of self, has seeped into the Christian circle. I've seen Christian leaders have conferences and do retreats and speak and latch onto this truth of focusing on the self, positive self-image. We are such a worth that Christ died for us. We're so worthy that Christ had to die for us. What backwards that is. Another Christian blogger said, "There's so much talk of self-love in the Christian circle right now." And he concluded, "Don't buy the lie." That lie. And that lie is coming quickly into the church, into Christians. It is amazing. I've not heard that kind of a talk among Christians when I became a Christian back in the 90s. But now it's coming. Not only in the secular circle, secular books, it's coming to the church. Christians are talking that way now. Amazing. All right. That's last week. The second shocking thing that Jesus says is in this verse, blessed. Again, it's just these truths should shock you. It should amaze you. Your jaw should drop, just like the people who are listening to Jesus. I have 2 points. First is what this word is not. More blessed are those who mourn what is not and what it is. Number one, what is not? These blessed are those who mourn. These aren't what Jesus is not saying. It's not natural mourning. These aren't natural mourning, like a death in the family. Of course you're going to mourn. A loss of a friend. He's not talking about when you lose a friend, when you mourn, or financial reverses. Maybe your stock that you're investing went like this, and they went like this, and you're mourning. Or that you got a B+ in your midterm or final exam, and you're mourning. You applied to a school and you got rejected and you're mourning. You like this girl at school and she doesn't like you back. No one is jumping up and down with that. No, you're mourning. I mean, that's the story of my life. Is I've liked many girls over the years and they have never liked me except one, which is my wife now. And it didn't feel good to be rejected. Not what Jesus is talking about. It's not bad health and we mourn. You get cancer and we mourn. Or your kid has autism. We have a lot of kids over the years that we have met that have autism or some kind of disease in young children. And mourning for that. Couples who can't have kids who are mourning. Jesus is not talking about those kind of natural mourning here. One thing that the world actually does, tries to do, is to shun this kind of a mourning. The great aim of the world is to get away from this idea of mourning and the spirit of mourning. What Jesus is talking about, blessed are those who mourn, this is a spiritual condition, a spiritual attitude. What Jesus is talking about here
is a godly mourning, a godly sorrow, a spiritual mourning, a holy mourning, or what I like to call it, gospel mourning, gospel mourning. So what is Jesus meaning here? Those who are blessed are happy are those who mourn. The spiritual mourning, gospel mourning, a holy, godly sorrow. These are the people who are convicted of their sin. And before, that's how God works. Christianity works this way. Before you experience true happiness or true joy, you experience this kind of a spiritual mourning of your sin. Convicted of your sin. John 16:8. Frank, I don't have it. Look what he says. John 16:8. John 16:8 says this. Listen carefully. When he comes, talking about the third person of the Trinity, when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin. Remember, Jesus went up to heaven. He resurrected from the dead. He spent several days on earth, and he went to heaven. He said, before I go to I need to go to heaven. Can't stay here because I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit, he says, will come to convict the world concerning sin. Mourning. Not just convicting of sin, but with that, mourning for your and my sin. I still remember when I got converted. I know I keep talking about my conversion, but I came to my senses in my freshman year. I went to this leader's retreat for a whole week. And I just got converted. And I still remember after a night of praise, convicted of my sin, went outside by myself in the middle of a basketball court and fell to my knees, weeping profusely. Now, ask my wife. I don't really cry very much. I'm not a crier. But it was at that night, I was so overwhelmed, a conviction of my own sin, mourning of my own sin, that God, this God that I sort of thought I knew, didn't know, and he would forgive of my sin, all the sin. All the sin that I have done to my God now. This is the self-mourning. Those who live a life of repentance, who lament the corruption of their nature and their many actual transgressions. Blessed are those who mourn. That word is a present tense. It's not just me mourning back then when I got converted. Blessed are those who continually mourn. Continual action. Present, continual mourning of their sin. Present sin. Christians. These are the kind of people God wants to populate His kingdom with. People who are continuing to mourn for their sins. These are people who are blessed, who trouble themselves more about their sin than anything on earth. Let me say it one more time. These are the people who trouble themselves more about their own sin than anything on earth. These are the people who grieve daily over their shortcomings. These, Jesus says, are the truly happy. There's true joy in those who deeply mourn for their sin. Look at what a Puritan, Thomas Watson, says, quote, "We must so weep for sin as to weep out sin. Our tears must drown our sins. We must not only mourn, but turn." Oh, I love that. Not only mourning for our sin, but turning from our sin. I've seen too many Christians who just mourn for their sin, but not turn. They're sorry for their sin. Okay? They're going this way. "Oh Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me." And God, of course, graciously forgives a sinner. Prays that way. I'm sorry. And then they keep going this way. I'm sorry. Not turning from their sin. It's walking in sin, but keep asking for forgiveness. That's not turning. That is not true repentance. We must mourn for our sin, but we must turn a different direction. We must not only mourn for our sin, but turn from our sin and have a hatred for our sin. A sense of sin. A sense. We must see sin. Taste sin. Hear sin. We must mourn for our sin. A deep hatred for our sin. You know, in Matthew chapter 1 verse 18, this is why Jesus came. For our sin. That was His goal. That is your and my the problem in your life. Is our sin against our God. And Jesus, the Son, has come to save and deal with that problem in our lives. The ugly heads of sin, these dragons, are broken in true repentance, mourning and turning from our sin, a hatred for our sin. Look at the deep hatred that Paul had against his sin. Romans chapter 7, 21 to 25. You should read the whole thing. It's amazing of his emotion against sin. His hatred, deep hatred. Not only mourning, but a hatred against sin. "So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For my inner being, I delight in God's law." It's talking about Christians. Some theologians said this is a passage about non-Christians. That's not true. These are Christians who are deeply grieving. Paul is a Christian. This is not an experience before being a Christian, conversion. This is afterwards. There's a tension between inside. "I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind, making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man that I am." Didn't have a low self-esteem issue. He's mourning. "I often hate myself." Not because I have a low self-esteem. And I could identify with Paul. When I sin, whether it's my wife or my kids or anyone else, at that moment, I was young. I love me. I don't do that. I hate myself at that moment. I'm disgusted with myself. I can't divorce me with sin. No, I did it. I said it. I thought it.
I would often, but I haven't done this when I was in, married with to my wife. I would be in some sin, taking a shower, deeply grieved, banging my head against the wall. I hate this! Why am I hurting other people? Not just other people. It's a rebellion against God. Feel better. I know what the right thing to do. And yet, I keep doing the very things I don't want to do. What's wrong with me? God help me. That's what Paul said. What a wretched that I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Who will do it? He found hope. Thanks be to God. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. There is no comfort to those who mourn. Blessed are those who mourn and find hope then in Christ. Blessed are those who mourn, not only turning from their sin in repentance, but they have a deep hatred for sin. I hate my sin. Psalm 51, Sam read it. Psalm 51, David, and he was a master. He really understood. He knew how to grieve and mourn for his sin. Psalm 50, you guys know this passage very well. Psalm 51, 16 and 17. He really understood the heart of God about sin. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I will give it. You will not be pleased with the burnt offering. Remember, the irony of this is God told the Israelites to bring a sacrifice, right? When you sin. That was the point. And God says, I don't delight in those. The sacrifice of animals, I do not delight. And look at what he says. The sacrifice of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. There is the mourning. There's a deep sense of a hatred and mourning in his heart for sin. Oh God, you will not despise. Blessed are those who mourn is the mark of all of God's people. All of God's happy children, all the way to your home in heaven. If you want to experience true happiness and true joy, you have to go through mourning, not in spite. You will never experience true joy and happiness apart from mourning of your sins. You will never find comfort from God when you and I don't mourn a deep hatred, comfort from our God. This is a mark of God's people who are truly happy and blessed, those who mourn. I often hear Christians talking this kind of language, and search your heart. When we talk about sin, I often hear this kind of, when I share my sin or anything like that, they say, Pastor Young, don't worry about it. We all do it, right? We're not perfect. Don't get too worked up about this. We're not perfect. We all break rules, right? What's the big deal? Kind of a language. Like, they're not mourning. It doesn't affect them. Sins have very little touch of mourning in their lives. Like, no big deal. Everyone's doing it. That's not what Jesus is saying here.
Blessed are those who mourn for their sin. Those shall be what? Comforted. Look at the tax collector. I think it's the best example of gospel mourning. We're going to look at this parable more in the Sunday school in detail, but the parable of the tax collector in Luke chapter 18, 9 through 14, you guys are all familiar, the popular parable. And I think this tax collector really shows what true mourning is. Look what he says. He says, have mercy, have mercy. Do we have that, Frank? Luke 18? There it is. Luke 18, 9 through 14. Luke 18, 9 through 14. Luke 18, 9 through 14. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other the tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithe of all that I get. Verse 13, but the tax collector, standing far off, wouldn't even lift up his eyes to heaven. He beat his breast. He was mourning. What was he mourning about? A hatred of his sin. Beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man, is that Jesus said, went home justified. In other words, this man was truly this man who realized about his sin and mourning for his sin is someone who is truly happy, justified before God. I mean, isn't that the issue, guys? The issue of your life and my life is the joy comes when we realize we are sinners under the wrath of God because of our sin, and we realize that, and who does this tax collector look to? Not to himself. It's the Pharisee who looked to himself. He wasn't mourning. He was showing off, you know? Look at me. What a contrast here. We're going to look at more of that in Sunday school, but that man is truly blessed and happy. These are the kind of people that God wants to populate his kingdom with. What about you? Are you looking at your sin and you say, you know, everyone's doing it. No big deal. Don't get too worked up about your sin. No, it is a big deal. Sin is a big deal to God. It was such a big deal to God that God had to send his own son
give him the name Emmanuel, Jesus, to save us from your and my sin. Isn't that what Good Friday is? Mourning for our sin. It's not just for Good Friday. Mourn for your sin on Friday. The continual mourning. Those people are truly blessed. Those people will truly find happiness and joy in this world. Not doing away with it. No big deal. No one is perfect. We all sin. What's the big deal here? That's not a person who's mourning for sin. There's this tax collector who was truly, but what about you, church? You know, when you look at your sin, whatever that sin is, you have to tell me, are you mourning deeply grieved by hatred for your sin? I love hymns. I want to end with this hymn. Hymn writers were they hit the truth with song, with words, right at the heart. The new hymn that I learned recently, Beneath the Cross of Jesus. And at the end, Frank, do you have that out there? Content to let the world go by, to know no gain, no loss. I love that. Content to let the world go by. I want this world, and if I don't do it, it's the end of my life. No, content. Let the world go by. No big deal. To have or not have, I'm content. I'm okay. Not a loser. Isn't that the opposite of this world? To get as much stuff as I can. Often with frustration, with toil. With content. But look at what he's worked up with. Hymn writer. Look at what he's mourning. My sinful self is my only shame. Do you see that truth there? My sinful self is where I'm grieving. My sin. Sin against God. Sin against others. Hurting others. Sin is killing me. My sin put Jesus, the Son of God, onto the cross. That sinful self is the only thing that I know in this world. But he doesn't remain there. Look at this gospel morning. Good news. My glory is not in the self. My glory, my happiness, and my joy is where? The cross. My glory, there is my joy. It's on the cross that Jesus not takes my sin into an account. If he did, you will go to hell, straight to hell. The wrath of God will land on you. But my hope is the cross. And I mourn. I continue to mourn as I look to the cross. My continual present sin in your life. Is that you? Because that's the gospel mourning. Blessed are those who mourn that way. And you will be comforted. That's the promise. That's the characteristic. A kind of a people that God wants to populate his kingdom with. How about you, church? Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray that we would be more sensitive, not conforming to this world, not okaying sin, not justifying sin, not saying it's not a big deal, everyone is doing, no one's perfect, come on, kind of a thinking, theology. That's not even profound. It is obtuse. Oh Lord, may you cause your people to have a deep sense, a deep sense of our sin before you, a deep sense of awareness of our sin, a deep hatred turning from our sin, pleading mercy from a merciful God who you have promised we turn to you and cry out for mercy, that we will find it. Oh Lord, teach us this kind of a gospel mourning, a godly sorrow. Because you have said these are the blessed, these are the people who will be truly happy. These are the people who will truly experience joy. These are the people who will be comforted by the message of the cross. Oh Lord, help us to sing like this hymn writer, content to let the world go by. Not to idolize accolades and jobs and stuff as our value. Content to let the world go by. To know no gain nor loss. My sinful shame, my sinful self is my only shame. My glory, Father Christ. Oh, may the people here listening, may that be their theology. May that be their life. Oh Lord. Grieving of their sin and finding hope in the cross, I pray. Make us a people like this. Change us. Because these are the kind of people you want to populate your eternal kingdom with. Pray all this not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit in and through Christ. Amen.